Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its first quarter 2018 results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du premier trimestre et de l'année financière de 2018. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, November 14, 2017, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Marc Blanchette. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchette. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French auditors. Bonjour, merci. Bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section investors. Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over H2O Innovation's business model and highlight the milestones of our first quarter of our fiscal year 2018, which ended on September 30th. I will then be discussing the quarter's results. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I'd now like to hand over the call to Frédéric, President and CEO of H2O Innovation.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for joining the call today regarding the presentation of our first quarter results of our new fiscal year. As you will see through this presentation, in reading our MD&A along with the financial statements, management has decided to present you the first quarter results compared to the unadjusted numbers of last year for better clarity and fair comparison. Even though the acquisition of Utility Partner has been recorded on July 26, 2016, for accounting purposes, we believe it is more fair to compare financial performance of our O&M business pillar on a full three-month basis. For this first quarter ended September 2017, consolidated revenues have reached a new summit of $22.6 million, an increase of 13.8% compared to last year's first quarter. 1 year following the acquisition of Utility Partner, allowing us to build the foundation of our O&M third business pillar, we can claim that our business model is really coming to fruition. Synergies have been captured, our customer offering is shaping up, and we are creating value for our customers and maximizing retention. Indeed, recurring revenues represent 63.7% of our sales, combining specialty products and services, and operation and maintenance. Our consolidated backlog keeps growing and has reached a new high of $105 million at the end of this first quarter, up 6.9% from previous year. Finally, after a number of slower quarters, we are starting to see a conversion of these large project sales backlog into revenues, pushing upwards the revenues. Indeed, the first quarter showed $8.2 million of revenues coming from projects, an increase of 51.8% from last year. On a last 12-month basis, we are also seeing an increase of 7.5% year over year, which is promising for the current fiscal year. For the specialty products and services business pillar, the first quarter shows revenues of $6 million impacted by the seasonality of our various product lines. On a last 12-month basis, the business is still growing by 3.8%. We feel confident in seeing revenues from specialty products and services grow more significantly in the second and third quarters, as previously shown in past years. Despite the impact of the foreign exchange between the Canadian and the American exchange, which fluctuated by 10% from June to September 2017, our operation and maintenance revenue is moving in the right direction. We have been able to renew all of our operation and maintenance contracts coming up for renewal and expanded scope of work as well. Overall, our business is growing and our business model is becoming more and more predictable. Now let's have a look at each of our business pillars. For our first business pillar, the water and wastewater projects, we are really happy to see the revenue recognition picking up finally. After a number of slower quarters, revenues are growing by 52% to reach $8.2 million for this first quarter. The project backlog of $54.7 million is also up by 32.7% from first quarter last year. Not only the backlog keeps growing, but has never been so well balanced in terms of application with greater number of MBR wastewater projects pushed by the Flex MBR concept and a greater number of water reuse projects such as the $10 million flagship project for the City of San Diego. This balanced backlog and growing large reference base is giving us confidence in the future of our project business pillar, both in terms of revenues and gross margin improvement. During this first quarter, we have been busy attending multiple conferences and trade shows to promote our offering. Indeed, we have attended the Water Reuse Symposium in Arizona and the WEFTEC in Chicago. The intent of these trade shows is also to maintain and grow our sales network through reps that we have in USA and Canada. For the second business pillar, the specialty products and services, despite a slower quarter impacted by the seasonality of some of our business line, the first quarter was very busy for us. Sales have reached $6.1 million, up 3.4% from last year. We're still expecting a strong sales quarter, as we have seen in previous years for second and third quarter. For this new fiscal year, starting June 1st, we keep investing in our operating and selling functions to fuel growth for the coming quarters. Indeed, these investments resulted into development and commercialization of multiple new products, such as the new filter housing model, allowing us to complete the product line, the new and improved design of couplings, development and launch of new green cleaners, one acid, one base, and one enzymatic cleaner, particularly efficient for ultrafiltration facing organic fouling. And we're working now to enlarge also our portfolio of maple farming equipment, where we added 29 new products this year to complement our offering. Finally, we also added two new distributors to our maple division, for a total of 50 different distributors now. For us, growing sales through the expansion of our distribution network is a priority. Also, we keep pushing for innovations and new products in all of our business lines. We firmly believe that this will drive sustainable growth in the coming quarters. The Specialty Products and Service Group was very active commercially, attending multiple trade shows and conferences, notably the International Desalination Association in Brazil and the Aquatech Conference in Netherlands. Also, PwT and Piedmont hosted for the fourth edition their distributor symposium in the Netherlands as well. For this event, 50 people from more than 15 different countries and representing many of our distributors attended the event. During this two-day event, we provided training on our products, proposed new ideas, received feedback from customers, allowing us to build stronger relationship with these clients and distributors. Finally, we also hosted in Vermont our annual distributors for our US-based maple distributors. For our third business pillar, the operation and maintenance, revenues have reached $8.4 million. Merely 1 year following the acquisition of Utility Partner completed July 26, 2016. As explained in previous conference call, the acquisition was transformational for us in many ways, completed our customer offering, gained predictability into our revenue model, and secured long-term relationship with customers. Utility Partner is a superb business platform that we can grow, provide added value to our customers from the different business line that we have, and create values for our shareholders. Our backlog for the operation and maintenance only stands at $50.6 million as of September 30th. Since the acquisition, we have renewed all of our operation and maintenance contracts, expanded the scope of work on some of these projects, and captured a little bit more than $1.5 million of cross-selling synergies. In this first quarter, we also hired a new business development personnel to help us to grow the business with multiple opportunities. We're now working hard to grow our operation and maintenance business into new territories in the U.S. and in Canada as well, where we believe we can leverage our existing commercial presence and install base. Overall, our business model keeps improving as we are gaining predictability with more recurring revenues. As this quarter is showing, we're presenting 63.7% of recurring sales in this first quarter. Our business model is proposing also a unique offering which maximizes customer retention and provides greater synergies between the various product lines. I will now pass it on to Mark, who will review the financial performance in a more detailed way.
Thank you, Frederick. Before I go over the financial results, I want to remind you again that the numbers we present here are comparing 3 months of Utility Partners compared to a full 3 months of Utility Partners last year. As Frederick explained at the beginning of this call, we're doing that because we believe it gives a better understanding of the evolution of Utility Partners business since its acquisition in July 2016. So highlight on financial statements. So we start this 2018 fiscal year with record high revenue for a quarter of $22.6 million. It's an increase of 13.8% compared to the first quarter last year. It comes essentially from the 52% increase of revenue from the project business pillar. Revenues went from $5.4 million last year to $8.2 million this year. This last quarter, we had greater numbers of projects that entered into revenue recognition phase. Even though we believe this level of revenue coming from project in one quarter is in the high end, revenue from project in the upcoming quarters for this fiscal year will stay high since it's supported with about $55 million backlog. Revenue from specialty products and services stayed pretty stable at $6 million compared to last year at $5.9 million. Generally, the strong quarters for business pillar are second and third, due to the seasonality coming from the maple equipment sales. Revenue from operation and maintenance slightly decreased by 1% at 8.4. The revenue of this pillar are essentially just Utility Partners revenue and are generated in US dollars. So the foreign exchange impact compared to last year is $300,000. Therefore, if we don't consider the foreign exchange impact, we generated an organic growth of 2.5% compared to last year. But this increase is the result of the new contract and scope extension we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partners in July 2016. The gross profit margin decreased at 19.7% compared to 22.5% last year. This is essentially due to the revenue mix. 73% of our revenues are coming from project and operation and maintenance, which are business pillars that have a lower gross margin. We expect the gross profit margin to increase as revenue coming from specialty products and services business pillar will increase with the seasonality from the maple equipment sales second and third quarter. SG&A's have been pretty stable at $4 million compared to a 3.7 last year. It represents 17.7% ratio over revenue for this first quarter of fiscal 18, down from 19.6 from the same quarter last year. The decrease in percentage is due to the increase of the overall revenue without impacting proportionally SG&A expenses. We expect to be able to maintain the SG&A below the 20% mark for the rest of the fiscal year. The net loss have also been impacted by external bank fraud. So we've had a bank fraud. We'll touch a little bit more about it later, which impacted the net amount of $363,000. So the net fraud is a net fraud, and we've disclosed it in the MD&A. It's a net fraud. It's a fraud that happened on our online banking platform, and the net impact. And we won't comment too much about it confidentiality agreement with insurance and bank. But the impact, the net loss impact is $363,000. It's been recorded in the net, but removed from the EBITDA. As for the EBITDA for this quarter, is $588,000. It's pretty stable compared to last year, which was $629,000. It represents a 2.6% ratio over revenue, which is a decrease compared to 3.2% last year. This year ratio is impacted by an increase of revenue coming from project business pillar, which has a lower gross margin. This gross profit margin, just like the gross profit margin, we expect the EBITDA ratio to increase with seasonality of revenue in the specialty products and services business pillar during second and third quarter. Financial position. So on September 30th, 2017, the working cap ratio was at 1.31 compared to 1.42 on June 30th. The ratio is impacted by higher volume of activities. So increased by $3 million of our receivable to 16.2 compared to 13.2 on June 30th. This comes from invoicing milestone reached in project, and part of it is the settlement regarding the external bank fraud. Inventory increased by $1.2 million to 6.1 September 30th from 4.9 on June 30th. The inventory is increased in preparation of the maple syrup production. Work in progress have also increased by $650,000 since June 30th. This increase is due to the difference between project advancement and project invoicing schedule. This is also coming from the increase of the revenue coming from project business pillar. Cash flow and debt. So I'll provide comments on slide 15 and 16 together. We use $3 million of cash flow from operation activities compared to a use of $1.7 million last year. Cash flow have been impacted by the timing difference within project production phase and invoicing milestone. During the execution of a project, we have expenses related to purchase of equipment and manufacturing of project. These expenses don't necessarily match with the invoicing milestone and payment terms. In the first quarter of fiscal 18, project activities combined with inventory increased the use of our cash flow and increased momentarily our debt level. The net debt increased by $3.8 million, and it now stands at $16.4. The increase of the net debt and the variation in the cash flow are explained by the following. So I explained it a bit earlier, but the increase in project impacted accounts receivable and work in progress. So if we do the receivable less the payable, it increased by $1.5 million. The work in progress increased by $650,000. That's the difference between the cost in excess of billing and the billing in excess of cost. And the inventory increased by 1.2. The inventory has ramped up in preparation of the maple season. So as we collect those receivable and as we start reducing the inventory, we should see the debt being reduced and the cash flow situation also being reversed. We've had the negative impact of $400,000 due to the external bank fraud. And total investment in CapEx of $400,000. Out of that $400,000, $100,000 was made for direct support of operation and maintenance plans. There's also been an increase of $500,000 in the long-term debt. That's the remaining balance of a debt that we contracted a year ago to finance the implementation of our new ERP. During that last quarter, we also reimbursed $500,000 of long-term debt as per reimbursement schedule, and the average cost of our debt is 5%. This concludes my remark on the financial section, and I'll hand over the call back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. So 1 year following the acquisition of Utility Partner, allowing us to build a foundation of our operation and maintenance third business pillar, we can claim that our business model is really shaping up and coming up and coming for fruition. Altogether, our three business pillars keeps growing, improving, and are proposing to our customers a unique integrated offering. Our business model is generating multiple synergies across the three business pillars and is allowing us to increase the ratio of recurrent revenues to 63.7% for this first quarter. Boosted by the award of the 40 million gallons per day flagship water reuse project for the City of San Diego, combined to 100% of renewal of our operation and maintenance contracts, our consolidated backlog standing to $105 million is providing us an excellent visibility of the revenues for the current fiscal year and the following quarters. We continue to strive for innovation at all three business pillars, allowing us to secure new sales, increase customers' retention, and recruit new distributors for our specialty products line. Overall, our business has never been so well balanced, predictable, and positioned for growth. We'll now pass to the question period.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Last quarter, I think you talked about the projects in terms of there were nine projects that were delayed, and three of those projects have started to get implemented now. Can you just give a sense of the number of delayed projects and how many of those are now being implemented?
So some of these projects have resumed and now are entering a phase of accelerated engineering, and some have and will hit the fabrication stage in this current fiscal year, definitely. And some were still in the hole, but overall the backlog and new projects coming in is fueling, you know, the current growth that we're facing as well.
So of the nine projects, how many have started now?
Four.
Okay. In terms of, you talked a little bit about the renewals of OEM contracts. When you're renewing these contracts, are you getting a greater scope for these contracts? Like, are these contracts now for a larger amount?
It depends. Each project coming up for renewal is different. Some are just renewed with same scope of work. Some and extended for another 4 years or 5 years, depending on the terms. We are adding an expanding scope of work, which allows us to add more personnel and then grow the revenue and top line for the coming years. It's really different for each project. But one thing that is true is that since a year now, we have implemented a program within utility partner organization giving financial incentives to our project manager in growing their existing business. So suddenly, the business that was more or less stagnant for a number of years because the company was for sale, since we completed the acquisition, now we have injected and installed a new financial incentives to our project managers to grow the business and be more opportunistic in growing it.
Okay. And then on the San Diego new project, the big one that you announced, the timelines for when do you have some more visibility there in terms of when that might start getting implemented?
So the current target date that we have contractually is to have the system implemented and installed by 2020. So it's in a few years from now. However, what we're expecting this year is probably a little bit of engineering work that will be done to prepare the tender for construction. And this could represent, out of a $10 million, this could represent approximately 3 to 5% of total revenue that could impact our current fiscal year.
So then most of that is going to come in 2019 then?
2019, yeah, exactly. 2019, 2020.
Okay. And then in terms of gross margins, in the past you've talked about sort of this range of 22 to 24%. Now, this quarter was obviously lower than that, quite a bit lower. But next quarter, because of the SPS increase, that should be back in the 22 to 24 range. Is that right? For a couple quarters? And then in Q4, should it go back down to under 20?
Well, Pardeep, under 20 is a bit unusual. We will maintain above 20. I mean, there's been some projects that impacted the gross margin here for this quarter, but the overall gross margin is scheduled to stay above 20%. And indeed, increase higher than, you know, in order to compensate the slower quarters, second and third quarter should be higher.
So second and third quarter should be like in the 24% range.
I don't want to promise anything, but I'm aiming, we're aiming for that.
Okay.
If you look at Pardeep and previous quarter,
yeah.
Just the specialty products and service group, in Q2 and Q3 last year, we showed $7.7 and $8.6 million of revenues. And this is without considering any growth from this current fiscal, from this new fiscal year. So, indeed, the sales for this first quarter is usually lower. But as you can imagine, because of the gross margin contribution coming up from these different product lines, which are usually at higher margins, is impacting very positively these coming up quarters.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the extra color.
Thank you, Barty.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney from Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Frederic and Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to touch back on the products backlog. Obviously, you know, it's gotten quite large over the last year, and there's been some delays. And historically, you've gone back and scrubbed that backlog. Are you continually doing this, and do you feel comfortable that the backlog, as stated, is an accurate reflection of the work that still remains out there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And not only this, is that we're seeing, as I said in the conference call, a better balance in terms of application within this backlog of projects. So before, we used to be highly weighted towards the drinking water, which for a different commercial reason is coming up with usually lower margin. And now we're seeing a greater number of MBR and wastewater projects helping us to push upwards the margin, and as well for the water reuse application. So these two things, I mean, now seeing the project finally coming up and picking up and getting executed, and combined to new projects coming in at higher margin, is giving us pretty good, I would say, confidence and faith in the coming quarters for improving the project business.
And the gross profit margin, also to complete Pardeep's initial question, this is how we intend to drive the gross margin up with those type of diversification of project, with some projects that will hit the revenue recognition phase that are projects with higher gross margin.
You know, that was actually my second question, or follow-up question, was going to really focus on that, was as you're moving more towards water reuse and wastewater, then you also have size of projects, right, in terms of larger versus smaller. Maybe you can just give us a 30-second overview of where, maybe bucket those projects and tell us where margins from a qualitative standpoint sort of fall in, just so as we see contracts come out, we have a little bit better understanding.
Well, in terms of size first, well, project just like San Diego, for example, a $10 million scope of work is usually something that we see less in terms of projects. So the average typical projects will be within $1 to $2 million typically. So that's one thing, because as you can imagine, on smaller project, revenue recognition is usually a little bit faster than large projects. So typically, the average size projects will be between $1 to $2 million a piece. In terms of margins and application, well, if I can place them in order, I will
that'd
put
be perfect,
the...
actually.
Sorry?
I said that would be perfect if you could actually just sort of rank them.
Yeah, in terms of lower margin, typically I would say the drinking water related type of application will be at the bottom of the curve. Then you will have the water reuse. Then you will have, going upwards, you will have the wastewater projects. And then you will have typical industrial type of projects at higher margin, either water reuse or wastewater or process water.
Got it.
So drinking water use, wastewater, industrial process.
And then industrial is last, which makes sense. Got it. And then cross-selling, I think, was about $1.5 million with the O&M contract side. And you also mentioned you're incentivizing project managers to grow and be opportunistic. I imagine that's also expanding scope, looking for additional O&M contracts. But I'm just curious as to potentially how much cross-selling you could see with the current contract base you have today.
Sure. So the cross-selling typically can be in the form of a consumables, like integrating our chemicals or providing chemicals or specific spare parts, filters, membranes to existing O&M projects. The other kind of synergies that we could see is, I would say, more equipment upgrade or systems upgrade. So let's say on an existing wastewater project that we currently operate, last year we have won a project where we are currently upgrading the tertiary or secondary wastewater system into a tertiary water reuse system using membrane filtration. So it can take the form of also a project. So the synergies can come from our engineering team contributing and participating to helping the municipalities or the project that we're currently operating to upgrade and change their equipment. And this is what we will call as well cross-selling.
And I think you were also talking about scope expansion. In some projects, Jerry, for example, municipal project, we are operating the water plant, but for whatever reason, the municipality have kept the wastewater plant operations. And in terms of scope expansion, that could be, for example, with the same customer, convince this customer or selling him our services for the wastewater plant where we don't operate it. So we never quantified the amount of opportunities on that, but there are plenty.
Got it. And I mean, you have about $1.5 million that you've done in the cross-selling area.
6 years.
How much could you do? You know, in, we'll say, best case scenario or moderate case scenario, you choose, how much cross-selling could you put into these projects or into the O&M contract base as is?
Well, I would say within the existing revenue level that we have for the operation and maintenance, I would say to keep and grow, you know, a cross-selling of $1 to $2 million a year will be something acceptable that I will say is we'll be doing well and take full advantage of what we have. Obviously, there's things that, you know, we're not providing and we're not doing that, you know, is, I'll just give you an example, you know, the civil work and all the concrete work and all these things that typically a municipality could do, I mean, is out of our scope, typical scope. But, you know, between $1 to $2 million with the existing revenue base that we have for operation and maintenance is acceptable. And the other thing, too, that we need to keep in mind is, again, the purpose of why we acquired and why we wanted to grow into operation and maintenance, Jerry, was to provide an extension to our current business that we have. Because with the number of projects that we are delivering every year, which is, let's say, an average of 25 new projects that we're installing every year, there is within these new projects or new customers interest into operation and maintenance. And this is what we want to provide. We want to provide a platform to these existing customers and be able to propose operation and maintenance to these ones. And this is why we're confident to see an expansion not only in the U.S., not only existing scope of work, but into new territories such as Canada as well. We think we can bring operation and maintenance to Canada within the existing, you know, sales network that we have. And this is what we're currently working on.
Got it. No, that's very helpful, and it absolutely makes sense. And then one final question on SG&A, maybe on the selling side, and then, you know, separately the general administrative side. How should these costs move around now that we're starting to see the project business start to reaccelerate?
You say how should these costs move?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, should we expect the G&A sort of flat and selling costs to increase?
Yeah.
You know, just want to see the leverage on the OPEX side.
It won't, I mean, for sure, admin costs won't move as we move revenues. I mean, that's kind of a mostly flat And you can see it this year, it's been pretty flat and I think even decreased a little bit, but there's been some reallocation following UP's acquisition. Sales cost, there is part of it that comes from, I mean, activities such as, you know, trade shows and all. Second quarter will be a bit higher. There's commissions that can fluctuate as well. So we've got some reps and on which we need to pay commissions. Operation costs will go up a little bit, but not as high as the revenue will ramp up. So project revenue will increase much faster than the SG&A. In conclusion, so this is why we believe we will be able to maintain those SG&A below the 20% mark easily. Yeah, that's the scalability of our business model. Scale up the EBITDA, ramp up the EBITDA as we ramp up revenues.
Perfect.
Once all the fixed charges are covered, the gross profit margin goes directly on the bottom line.
Got it. Thank you very much. I'll jump in back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
Your next question comes from the line of Gabrielle Lung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Couple of quick things. Good morning. Just looking at the operations and maintenance revenue line in the quarter, saw that came in about $8.4 million. I think the last quarter you guys did about $9.6 million. I think most of the revenues here are calling reoccurring in nature. So I'm just wondering what would help to explain the majority of the sequential drop-off.
Well, when we did the, when we finished the fourth quarter at the end of June 30th, the current foreign exchange was standing approximately at 1.34, and now at the end of September, it was standing at 1.25.
Yeah. But there's the membrane. Go ahead.
There was two things to my answer. So there was this fluctuation in foreign exchange impact that explained half of the difference, and the other thing was revenue recognition on a membrane replacement on a given project in Mississippi. So a membrane plant that we currently operate, we had to replace the membranes. Actually, the customer placed an order, and we had to replace close to $500,000 worth of membranes on this specific plant. So that created a one-off on these revenues. But otherwise, I mean, if you look fundamentally as the business is growing through additional scope expansion.
In upcoming quarters, that such sales, such as the membrane replacement, we will put it into the service, so in the second pillar.
Gotcha. Maybe one other thing, just in terms of the, I guess, the bad debt expense in the quarter, the related to the online banking fraud, I guess. I think you had set the amount about $400,000. Do you think you'll be able to recover any additional amounts of that $400,000? And that's it for me. Thanks.
That's after all recovery. So that's our impact.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Frédéric Ducré, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Good. Well, thank you very much for joining the call again today. We look forward to talk to you at the second quarter results. Otherwise, we invite you to join us at the annual meeting of shareholders in early December. And please, if there's anything else, we invite you to contact us by email or phone, or we look forward to get in touch with you. Thank you very much, and thank you for your trust again. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.